during fellowship hour today. Tuesday morning's prayer group will meet at 11:30. Wednesday, our pastor's book study group is not going to meet. Dodi Logan's service is at 11 a.m. at Wilson McReynolds that morning, so we're not going to meet for that. Sharks will meet in the afternoon. Choir will meet in the evening. Social Justice will meet on Thursday. Presbyterian men are going to meet, and Tim, correct me if I get this wrong, in the subway at Walmart, and somehow there's a secret back room back there.
Which is only mildly creepy.
It's to the right where the drink machines are, and you just keep on going back in the back, and that's where the room is.
Okay, so anyway, if Tim doesn't come back next Sunday, you know, it's because he vanished in the bowels of Walmart. But that's going to happen next Saturday at 8 a.m. for the men. 10 to 2 here at the church is the Red Cross Blood Drive. I know Susie's looking for some help to set up that morning.
Yes.
About 9 a.m. if folks can get here to set up, if there's some folks available, that would be great. Now, next week starts busy time. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We will gather here for Palm Sunday. We will have communion. We will have palms. We will have all that sort of stuff. The planned deadline is a week from Tuesday. So, you know, if your brain is still working, you want to get something in the April plan, that's the deadline for that. Thursday night here is our Maundy Thursday service with communion. That's our cantata, our Lenten cantata. Friday is the Community Good Friday service at noon at First Methodist downtown. That didn't make it in here, but it'll make it in next week. Saturday evening at 7:30, Granger leads an Easter Vigil service here. If you're curious about what that is, talk to Granger afterwards. It is not the traditional high church running until 7 a.m. Easter Vigil. Easter morning, we'll gather at 7:30. Notice we're keeping all the time 7:30, so there's no confusion. It's always 7:30. For the sunrise service, that typically goes about 45 minutes with communion, and then we do breakfast. And then, depending on our levels of chaos and energy, we do some form of Sunday school. And then we gather again at 10:30 for our regular service, also with communion. We'll give to the one great hour of sharing. That's going to get us through Easter, which is about as far as my brain is working right now. Yes. Thought I just said it. Okay. So yes, we are eating on Easter because, you know, we can't gather and not eat. Now, I know Dave would love for you to sign and pass the friendship pads down the rows. Our odd bit of scheduling this week are services for Dodi Logan. Dodi's visitation is 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday evening at Wilson McReynolds Funeral Home. The service is 11 a.m. on Wednesday at Wilson McReynolds Funeral Home. There will be a meal back here afterwards, and the deacons are providing and asking us to provide dessert and drinks. The family is bringing in the rest of it. So that is what you can provide if you would talk to Susie, if you're going to bring something. I mean, I have no doubt that we can eat dessert until the cows come home, but that is where we are at for that. What other announcements do we have? What have I missed?
Claire has something.
Okay.
Go ahead. Vivian is in the nursing home in Marion Rehab, East 13. I have her son's number. We were worried about her, so we went to check on her at her house. Anyway, that's the latest. We were worried about her, so we found out. And did you say about the... Pastor and women are going to have a rubber sale August 6th, first day of
I'm assuming that's a temporary.
That's what I heard, that she went to the doctor, they found fluid in her lungs, and he sent her right to the hospital, and they kept her, then they sent her, because she had nobody there with her, they put her in the nursing
home
for a while. So.
So we believe this is temporary at the current time. We're looking forward to celebrating Vivian's 100th come May. So she better not interfere with that. And then there is going to be a rummage sale in August. So save your stuff. PW will do a rummage sale. Go to Mary next.
A very special thank you to Gene Johnson for providing an excellent meal yesterday. And just please don't eat it all up. There's some left. I would like some, and I'm usually the last one in line. And also, ladies who provided the delicious desserts, which I could not eat.
Actually, Tom and I are usually the last ones, and there's nothing left to win.
There's always veggies left.
On behalf of the Friends of the Marion Carnegie Library, I'd like to announce that they will be having a book sale Friday and Saturday, 9 to 4. And on Saturday, the price will be half price. So come and get your goodies on.
The kids have made a big thank you poster to Ken King. Ken, we want to thank you for all of the time and effort and hours that you have devoted to this church family and maintaining our health and well-being and healing. So there is also open for any of us that want to sign or just put a little word of thanks on it. It's out by the where we have the Linton coloring posters. It's out there. So thank you, Ken.
See Julia in the back corner.
I'm going to put my big toe over the line that separates church and state. I want to remind everyone that Tuesday is our primary election in the state of Illinois, and it's a very important moment, I think, even in our history. So just a reminder, please, to get out and vote.
Do we have other announcements this morning? Let's worship God.
Amen.
The hymn of praise this morning will be 175.
therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Some of
us are glass half full people, Lord, and some of us are glass half empty. We await what is coming, both with hope and fearful expectation. We long for your kingdom, at the same time that we worry about its coming. Christ, who comes to Bethlehem, child, Savior of the world, we ask you to show us the certain hope of your love and grace. We ask you to forgive us our fears and to guide our lives into your kingdom.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
As you know, the Health Ministry team is sponsoring a blood drive on Saturday, March 19th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this coming Saturday. We have been sponsoring blood drives every September for the past 3 or 4 years, but felt as a team we needed to add an extra one into the calendar. So that means we would be providing this place every 6 months. Why is a blood drive so important? Well, blood products can help save lives of accident victims, surgical patients, and those receiving cancer treatments. Each day in the United States, roughly 38,000 units of blood are needed. And that translates to every 2 seconds someone needs blood. One donation may help to save up to 3 lives. 6 donations can ensure one patient has enough blood for heart surgery. 20 donations can help one burn victim. 50 donations could provide enough blood to take care of victims of a car accident. And our own Ken King, who has so eloquently spoken from this pulpit on this very subject in years past, has relied on, as we know, blood transfusions to keep his health. And he has come out each blood drive we've had to personally thank donors, which, you know, comes from his heart. The whole process takes about an hour, in and out. One day it could be you or one of your family members or friends who needs blood. There's lots of reasons why people kind of talk themselves out of giving blood. You may have been told in the past that you can't give blood. Well, regulations have changed, so it's good to check that to make sure that's still true. On the fellowship hall on the card table below the health ministry bulletin board, I have put a list of things that eligibility criteria. So if you think you're not able to give, check that. If you're still not sure after checking that list, you can go to www.redcrossblood.org. The age requirement is 17, and there is no upper age limit, which I'm thankful for. Due to the Zika virus that we've heard about this year, I have been told that there's more people that have been turned down, so we need to try to get more donors to come so that we can get the units. Our goal for Saturday is 18 units. So far, we have 6 units signed up. Our pastor is signing up for a double blood cell donation, and if you're a certain height, I'm not tall enough, you can give double units, which is actually takes a little bit longer, but then they get 2 units out of one, and then you only give once every 6 months instead of 3 months. So the sign-up sheet is on the table by the Health Ministry Board. Let me or Mary Kachari or Susan or Suzanne or Ken know if you have any questions at all, and we hope to see you there. If you do decide to donate, there are some things that you should do to enhance your success. Eat iron-rich food, and we have some list of what those are out there, too. Drink plenty of water, stay hydrated, get a good night's rest, and bring a photo ID. Thank you so much.
Susie's so nice, she didn't mention that you have to be over a certain weight to give double blood. Yes. And failing that, in the fellowship hall in between church and Sunday school, I saw our budding Young Preachers Academy going at it. Yeah. So if I can't be here next Sunday, we'll just ask the kids to do the sermon, and it'll be fine because they'll handle it. That brings us to our first reading today, which is in Mark chapter 13. We are progressing, as you might expect, towards Jerusalem. We are progressing towards the story that we will tell next week of the triumphant entry to Monday, Thursday, to Good Friday, and eventually to Easter. And so Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples for that in this passage. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, "What large stones and what large buildings?" Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Do the kids want to join me down front? So which one of you is going to preach for me next Sunday if I can't preach because I gave up?
Silas.
She's the preacher's kid? I saw Silas doing a pretty good job. Miriam looked pretty comfortable in that pulpit.
Yeah, maybe we should have either Miriam or Seth.
You don't know how to read? We can fix that. You got a week. You can read? One of the things that we talk about as the church is that we do this thing together. Okay? So when you look at how worship happens, it takes a lot of different people. Okay? We plan in advance. We pick the scripture passages. We get together, Herb and Granger and Mary and I, and we pick the hymns. And that lets everybody back there complain about the hymns we pick. So that gets them involved in that part of the service. And we write a bulletin. And whoever has worship committee's notebook finds liturgists and ushers and greeters and acolytes. And we let very responsible people play with fire every week. We don't let anybody who sits back there right now play with fire every week. Only responsible people, right, Peregrine? Yeah. And everybody comes, right? And so we hear many voices read the call to worship and the prayer of confession. We hear many voices sing. Well, this week we lost one of those voices. And we lost more than that. If you have noticed, normally behind the table, there are flowers out there, right? That was one of the things Miss Doty gave to this church. She did the flowers. And I don't just mean she did the flowers. She made sure they were beautiful and right, and she was not happy if they were not beautiful and right. So this week, this month, this next year, when you guys look around the church and see flowers or don't see flowers, I want you to remember how many people it takes to be the body of Christ. Okay? It takes more than me, right? As we saw, we've got at least five of you who can replace me. Right? And take your mama can do it. Okay? She's done it before. Okay? But, you know, Miss Laurel has quit coming to sit with us down here, and so has Miss Madeline. And so you guys have replaced them right here, right? And when you guys get too big and too proud and too proper to sit down with us, right, someone will replace you. Everything we do takes all of us to do. You'll be leaving before you get there. Yeah, we're not talking about that. I'm not happy with that. So what I want you guys to do this week and next week and the weeks ahead is look around thank Mr. Ten this week for everything he has done for us. And as we remember Miss Doty, and as you look around, remember how many people it takes to be the church, to be Christ's body here and now. Can you do that for me? You guys pray with me? Christ, your body is big. It has all these different moving parts that do all these different things. Remind us that we are a part of that, that we have gifts to give. And remind us to look for the gifts that other people are giving. Remind us to thank them. And remind us that it takes all of us together to be your faithful people. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you guys. Friends, I invite you to open your hymnals to number 321. And we are going to sing together the church's one foundation, 321.
Thank you.